Members, we now move on to the second major paper of the afternoon, which is the paper that's been submitted by the Society for the Protection of the Harbour on what they describe as the proposed proportionality principle. As you know, we have for some time been debating as to how we might move various elements of the waterfront forward and concerned about how we might address overriding public need, and we now, I think, have some suggestions and proposals from the Society. But I will leave the Society, I think, to brief us on the detail. Could I welcome... is Christian there with you or not?
Hopefully within the next 10, 15 minutes.
All right, fine. Well,
I will start.
You're fine, no problem. Could I welcome Christine in her absence, Hardy Locke, Carl Chu, Dennis Lee and Winston Chu. First thing, members, we ought just to check. Any declarations of interest? Paul, you're a member of the Society?
I'm the representative of the Society on this council, so you can limit my speech if you so wish, Chairman.
It might help timing.
So we'll note Paul's interest. Anybody else wish to make any declaration? Fine. Well, I think, Winston, you're going to steer us through this paper, I believe, are you not?
Yeah, I shall try to be brief.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you very much.
Chairman, members?
Yes, please.
Thank you for hearing us. I must say that it is an interesting experience to be on this side of the table. thanks to your direction on the 9th of February this year, this paper has been prepared after extensive research and consultation with our legal advisors, including two very important members, namely Mr. Tony Neal, Senior Counsel, and Professor Johannes Chen, who is the Dean of the Law Faculty of Hong Kong. Now, their importance is that they were our counsel presenting the cases in court, including the Court of Final Appeal. So they know the law very well, and this paper has been prepared with their input and their help and their blessings. Just a bit of recap. The Court of Final Appeal judgment was delivered on the 9th of January 2004, and it prescribed an overriding public need test for future reclamation proposals. Since then, there has been a lot of uncertainty in the community as to what it means. There are difficulties in its implementation, as no doubt the government confirms. What does overriding public need mean? So this rather lengthy paper is only concerned with the proposal of trying to clarify what this means. There is actually no problem with the word public need, simply what is needed by the public. This can be ascertained through public consultation. But the problem is the word overriding. What is overriding? So we are trying to analyze this in our paper. Now, obviously, override implies a comparison between two things. A overrides B. But what are they? So in an attempt only not to write the law, but just to provide some useful guidelines for those in power and those are responsible for decision making, we have come up with this paper and summarized the concept into one simple paragraph. Believe me, this has been very carefully drafted as though it is a statement of the law, but it isn't. It's no more than a guideline. So we're trying to say something which is fundamentally simply common sense. So the first sentence reads, the greater the adverse impact of the reclamation on the harbour, the greater must be the justification. So one of the arguments is that 1 million square feet must require much better reasons than 100 square feet. I mean, this is quite clear. Then, the next requirement is essential. You have to establish a public need. It cannot be a private need. I'll explain later, by reference to the ordinance, But first of all, let me explain why we worded it this way. So a public need is basically essential. It can never be private needs. So whether such need overrides the importance of the harbour, these are the factors you have to consider. On the one hand, and it is the prime consideration, this is how the mind should exercise on the decision making on this issue. Enrichment of the public enjoyment of the harbour. That's one essential factor. And then, enhancement of the environmental, social and economic value of the harbour. As a result of the reclamation, balanced against the loss and damage caused to the harbour. So that is the formula. Could I support this reasoning by referring you to Exhibit C, which is before you? It is the ordinance itself. You find this colour photo. It's
yep.
The next one.
Yep.
Now, Section 3.1 is very, very clear. It deals with three things. It starts by saying the harbour is to be protected and preserved. So with that statement, the direction of the law is that you have to look at harbour reclamation from the point of view of the harbour. What does it do to the harbour? Pretend for the moment that the harbour is a person. Is it good for the harbour? Is it bad for the harbour? These are the matters you have to balance. So look at it from the point of view of the harbour, not from the point of view of the government, nor private interest, nor even the public, not at this stage. So, assuming that you are looking after the harbour, you have to ask yourself, is this good or bad for the harbour? Therefore, if the reclamation enhances the value of the harbour, then it is good for the harbour. If it destroys the harbour without justification, then it isn't. So that supports what I said earlier, that it must be enhancing the value of the harbour. The second point is also obvious. The law makes the harbour into a special public asset. So, who owns the harbour? It's the people of Hong Kong. Therefore, what is good for the public will be something that the law will accept as being, how should I say, a public need. So the second point is the public need. It cannot be a private need because you cannot give a public asset to private interest. So this supports the second factor we mentioned, namely the public need must mean enrichment of the enjoyment of the harbour by the people. So these are two essential factors that will give you the justification for reclamation. But the downside is, of course, the loss of the harbour. You have to consider the extent and degree, the time, the duration, if it's a temporary reclamation, how long. You have to consider the location of the reclamation. One corner of the harbour will be different from the centre of the harbour and so on. These are matters you have to consider. All we are trying to do here, by this proportionality principle, is to provide guidelines. We are not changing the CVA judgment. We are supporting it. We are not adding anything to it. So essentially, you have to look at it from two points of view. When you have reclamation, you may even say there are two classifications. One is the reclamation will benefit the harbour, and it may be easier to justify such reclamation because the harbour benefits. Then the other one is, although the public benefits may be building a road or tunnel or something that the public needs, we accept that, then we will be a public need, but the harbour will not benefit from that reclamation. That is a totally different matter. So the first part of the formula is easy to satisfy. The paper is designed to do this, that it will facilitate minor reclamations. If you do a pier, landing steps, slipway, promenade, this may be justified quite easily. So you have a lower scale in that sense. But for anything else, you may have to go through what is required by the Court of Final Appeal, a very high test, very stringent test. Why do you want to destroy the harbour? Do you really need to put a highway there? All these questions will have to be asked. So The purpose today is no more than to try to be helpful, that in the interest of the community, if the reclamation is minor, but will bring a lot of benefit to the public and to the harbour, so our position is, why not? But to make this possible, I invite participation and support, and that we should all come to a consensus. So by the government, by this commission, by the future harbour authority, and by the community generally, that we should take this approach loud and clear, so that it will minimise future litigation. That's what we want to prevent. Because litigation means that you have time, money, and opportunities. So we are here in good faith. May I end by saying this, that the way ahead is very clear. If we, on this commission, should prepare a strategic plan, long term, look at what the harbour needs over the next, let's say, 20 or 30 years, and have the plan, identify where you need reclamation, and go to the public on it, public consultation. Once this strategic plan is prepared, it may avoid any future disputes, either outside or in court, as to whether the reclamation is lawful or not. So this paper may be helpful for the future. Eventually, with the coming of the Harbour Authority, if our strategic plan, once prepared, receives the blessings of the Harbour Authority, then once again, the likelihood of litigation will become even less. So that is the way ahead. I repeat, what we are trying to do today is to reaffirm our commitment to the harbour in two ways. Our society is committed to protecting and preserving the harbour on the one hand, but on the other hand, we want to make sure they can be enjoyed by the people of Hong Kong. Thank you very much.
Listen, thank you. Obviously, we very much appreciate the spirit of the paper, and indeed the spirit of your remarks this afternoon. I have one question, and it's a non-legal question, but just so on the suggestion that we introduce this proportionality principle, are we not introducing what I might describe as another layer? We've already got to satisfy overriding public need, and then if on top of that we have to handle or respond to the proportionality principle, are we not adding another layer to the debate?
Thank you, Chairman. I don't think so, because we are still supporting the overriding public need, but we're simply making it easier to implement by lowering the threshold in respect of cases where the public benefits and the harbour benefits. It's saying that you can do it rather than you've got an additional hurdle to go through. So it's permissive, not restrictive. We are very much working within the overriding public needs principle. It's not contradictory. It's helpful.
It's permissive. Okay, thank you.
May I also point out one important word in that? I know that word was giving, I think, some legal advisors for the government some worries, which is that it may be trying to put up a higher level that is needed to comply with the reclamation proposals. It doesn't. We very, very carefully worded the principle to read, the prime consideration, but not the only, is the main consideration. There could be others. But if you consider this as the key to minor reclamations, then it is permissive. But if you are considering, as I said, building a highway without benefiting the harbour, it's still possible. It's still possible. No problem from this principle at all. You just apply the normal overriding public need principle, and it is a higher standard to achieve than this. This is, in a way, lowering the standard and being helpful.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I think Mrs. Lam has some remarks she'd like to make. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, first of all, let me express my deep appreciation to the Society for Protection of Harbour and Winston and Christine and Hardy for your efforts and thoughts in preparing this note for the Harbourfront Commission's consideration. Your remarks just now have been most helpful, Winston, because
you
have clarified a few doubts on our part, whether there's a higher threshold, whether there's a fourth test and things like that. But let me just begin by saying that I can certainly see the true passion that the SPH has for the harbour and in giving Hong Kong people a harbour that we can all be very proud of. I just want to take this opportunity to reaffirm the government's commitment, like the society, to protecting, preserving and enhancing the Victoria Harbour. The fact that this commitment has been articulated twice by the current chief executive in successive policy addresses is a very good illustration of that commitment. That's why I told Winston that I thought some remarks carried in the media soon after this idea of a proportionality test was disclosed in early August. By the way, I was out of Hong Kong during that period, but I came back and read one or two media commentaries that, oh, after all, the SPH has been brought on the side of government to now advocate some reclamation or to lower the threshold or to provide something down a slippery path of more reclamation. I think those remarks are most unfair to the society and perhaps, I would say, insulting to the people of Hong Kong. To suggest that the people of Hong Kong would still accommodate and tolerate any unjustified extensive reclamation of Victoria Harbour is just beyond my imagination. So likewise, that's why I said I want to take this opportunity to say something I've been saying for so many years, but I just want to repeat it, because sometimes the media might be too sensitive about some remarks made by the usual critic of government, that how come this time round the critic seems to be having some common or consensus views with us. Now, as this commission and many members will realize that Development Bureau now having the policy responsibility for the harbourfront, we have been sparing no efforts in trying to deliver the commitment that I have referred to, that is preserving, protecting and enhancing the Victoria Harbour for the people's enjoyment. But I have to make a few explanations and clarifications. First is the society's reference to uncertainties as a result of the 204 CFA judgment. I'm not sure whether we have pointed this out before. Just after the 204 CFA judgment, in around the summer of 204, I think it's August 204, a very important technical circular was promulgated within the administration by two secretaries, the Secretary for Housing, Planning and Lands and the Secretary for Environment, Transport and Works, because in those days, the works departments, which are the usual proponents for reclamation, did not work under the secretary looking after the harbourfront. So this was a joint circular by two secretaries to try to provide exactly what Winston said as working guidelines, because just a phrase, overriding public need test, would be very difficult to operate for the so-called works proponents. So we have this very detailed circular that goes into how many pages? 10 pages and 3, 4, 5 annexes. Trying to provide some working guidelines, and I noticed there are pretty good similarities between what Winston said just now in your position statement and in our guidelines. But what is important is we have not shied away from reclamation if there is a strong and justified case. So some comments in yesterday or today's newspaper saying that since the 204 CFA judgment that the government has shied away from contemplating simply is not true, because I got a list here that we have done something after 204. The reclamation works involved, of course, as some of you know, permanent reclamation includes the central phase 3, Wan Chai phase 2, and those relating temporary ones in support of the Central Wanzhai Bypass and in time to come the Sha Tin Central Link. And so in each and every of those cases, we have faithfully passed the test, so to speak, on the overriding public need test. So I don't think we are operating under uncertainties. In the last 6 or 7 years, we have clear guidelines to guide the works departments or the reclamation proponents to try to meet the CFA judgment while still doing the reclamation. So on the basis of the society's clarification in the paper and just now, that we are not reopening or reinterpreting or imposing additional rules to the CFA judgment, we are very very relaxed and quite happy to have even more common sense guidelines that Winston has suggested. But one thing that we have to be very clear is, as far as the CFA judgment is concerned, there's no clear distinction between major and minor. So even if you are now telling me that the SPH is very happy if it is just a very minor reclamation for good cause, it doesn't mean that the government can forget about the CFA judgment. I would still require my works departments to go through all the detailed guidelines on the CFA judgment to prove this overriding public need test, to prove that the proposed reclamation is minimum, and to present the so-called cogent and convincing arguments. It cannot be just a common sense approach. It has to be a very, very professional approach to operate. Having said that, I would say that the benefit of this discussion is really for us to, us means the administration, to be given greater courage to look at some proposed reclamation instead of being too fearful of going through that test, especially as you put it, if it is just common sense approach, a very minor one, but the benefits to public are enormous. But of course the biggest test is the public. What is public need? It is easy to differentiate public need from a private need. For example, a private developer wanting to reclaim, you can forget about that. So this circular, which I would ask the Secretary to circulate after the meeting, puts a lot of emphasis on public engagement. The best way to present cogent, convincing arguments on a public need is to ask the public, do you think that this is a good thing for the harbour and a good thing for the Hong Kong community? So we have 2 pages out of 10 pages in this circular talking about public consultation, which we said is of paramount importance. And we go on to say that the public should be involved very early in the process. In particular, it is useful to collect public views on whether the facilities proposed on reclamation are accepted as meeting the overriding public need test and whether there are any alternatives that need to be examined. So one thing that we could work on based on SPH position paper is to revisit our guidelines to see whether there are useful phrases that we could incorporate it into ours. After all, this has been a set of guidelines for 7 years now. So this may be an opportunity to look at the whole thing again. But allow me for saying this now that Christine is into the room. The biggest value or contribution of society, of SPH, in coming up with this paper, in my view, is not the substance, it's the form, it's the goodwill, it's the gesture, it's the good faith that Winston Chu has just said, so that we are no longer operating on two parts of the polar. We are no longer polarized parties, because we used to be described as a pro-reclamation, you are the anti-reclamation, we are the one who damaged our harbor, you are the one who protect the harbor. I think this discussion helps to bring us closer. That now we have, I use the words, Winston, you remember, joint mission. We have a joint mission to do what is good for the harbor, and of course in turn for the people of Hong Kong. So I would attach more importance to this symbolic value of this discussion whether at the end of the day we could how much of your words we could adopt in our guidelines is really not the most relevant part. But as I said, we will humbly look at our guidelines again with your input and see how much we could incorporate into it. But at the end of the day, whether going by your more modest thresholds for modest reclamations is not a matter for you and me, because there could be a third party, there could be a fourth party who take us to court. And once we are there, we still have to abide by the CFA judgment. And any variations to the CFA judgment has to be made by the court again, or by the CFA, again, when there is a test case. But at least we should now proceed with this more common sense approach to really put our minds to look at some possible candidates of some modest reclamation. I already have a handful with me. One is, of course, the IEC Broadwalk, which I think is supported by everybody around the table and by the relevant district councils. And the other is, of course, Alan Leung was talking about this bridge across Kwun Tong, the channel, linking up Kwun Tong Town and the runway T. I can assure you, and through this discussion, Alan Leung, that we are not shying away from that. Stephen Tang is over there. We have been doing various studies to see how we could present and engage the public on whether we could establish an overriding public need test for putting in a bridge, which requires a little bit of reclamation because of the structures on the channel. And just now in the cycle discussion, I flipped through the PowerPoints. There were a few areas they were actually suggesting, again, a bridge across a pier or maybe a harbour corner area that could be reclaimed in order to provide for better bicycle access and so on. And yesterday I was presented again with another proposal, which is to improve north-south connectivity, a footbridge somewhere in Causeway Bay, into Victoria Harbour Front, involving a cantilever structure that would serve as an observation deck. I said that was reclamation, but now that we have this discussion, I would not just throw away that. I think we should seriously consider whether some form of cantilever structure above the water service is indeed something that we could justify for the people to enjoy. So I have taken up a bit of time, but I just want to really make it very clear the government's position and to express my full appreciation to the Society for Protection of Harbour for this goodwill gesture. And to reciprocate that, Chairman and members may wish to know that I have agreed to take part in this year's Harbour Walk on the 6th of November. I was at the Society's 15th anniversary last year, right? Delivering speech. But this year I thought I should do some active things and join a walk and perhaps a carnival, which was promised to be fun. So we all look forward to taking part in your activities on the 6th of November. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And may I invite all the members to participate. It will be Sunday afternoon, 6th of November.
It's a date in the diary, Winston. It's a date in the diary, don't worry.
Sure,
Winston, Christine, do you just want to respond and then we'll open discussion to members?
Chairman, thank you very much for giving me a chance to say a few words, and I apologize for being late, but I had a prior meeting that I couldn't get out from, and then there were no taxis. I feel very deeply what the Secretary has just said, in the sense that I think the society had always wanted to be on the same side with the government. And it was indeed our desire in proposing the legislation, and then for the legislature to have passed it, that there would be a common understanding over time as to how Hong Kong people would want to preserve and protect the harbour. It's taken us many years. It's taken a long journey. And I recognize, looking back over 15 years, that we as a society, we've had to focus and concentrate on how we would advance this, because it's not something that we all know how to do just waking up one morning, and we look back at all the debates, the tussles, the court cases, the setting up of the precursor to this particular body, and then now this body, on both occasions the society had participated, and we recognize that today this particular body is doing amazing work, and I think everybody is inspired by the potential of what Hong Kong can achieve in creating a harbour front that we would all be proud of for generations to come. So I do regard this as a very major task. Secondly is, whilst the Secretary says that she appreciates the goodwill on our part to demonstrate that we're not stuck in the mud, so to speak, I would say that it actually took us quite a lot of time and effort to think through the content. So it isn't really just a demonstration of goodwill, because the goodwill is we would like to work with government, we would like to work with this body and with people in Hong Kong. But in thinking through how to protect the harbour on a long-term basis, we found that being the proponent of the original ordinance, that somehow we are expected to, or we ourselves has given us the task of continuing the intellectual development of the idea of how to do it. And in the end, of course, us as individuals, we will all move on, but of course we want to leave behind something, both in intellectual terms, which is represented by words, as well as in concrete terms, which is things that are going to be constructed at the harbourfront, that they do communicate over time and space what Hong Kong is trying to achieve with the harbourfront. So Winston has, of course, had a lot of the heavy lifting, and he and I were involved with the rest of our board in thinking this through. So I just want to say that hopefully there is some intellectual substance in there that will be enduring, and we are delighted to hear that Mrs. Lam will come to our celebration, and I'd just like to extend once again our invitation to all of you to join us as well. Perhaps that would also be a demonstration of goodwill, mutual goodwill, and also to show the people of Hong Kong that people from diverse backgrounds can, over time, arrive at some consensus about how we would move forward on a very challenging subject. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Members, comments, please. Vincent?
Chairman, I would like to make my comments in Cantonese. So get prepared for the...
go.
多謝主席。今日好似睇緊粵語長片嘅大結局咁樣。即係我覺得今日係見證咗一個維港規劃嘅一個轉捩點。咁係一個即係共建維港委員會係喺一個填海爭議嗰度開始，咁而一路發展到呢一個海濱事務委員會，我哋係一路講緊如何去將嗰個海濱俾市民使用，同埋點樣可以令到市民更加即係容易去到海濱同埋享用到海濱嘅設施。其實過去有好多好有創意嘅建議，點樣讓市民去容易接近海濱啊？去到最後都係企咗喺度，就係、是、因為一個大家好擔心呢一個緊箍咒咧，就一寸都不能前。呢、這、一個緊箍咒咧，就令到我哋有好多有創意嘅意念咧，就企咗喺度。我哋唔能夠起喺維港入面起多一個碼頭去改善呢一、這個海上邊道嘅暢達性。我哋喺東區走廊底下建板道呢一個方案，亦都冇人敢即係行前一步嚇，令到個方案只係去到規劃嗰度咧就停咗。啟德同埋觀塘之間嗰條路，亦都係喺規劃上邊係有個理念，但係亦都係 擔心會否觸犯海港規劃條例呢，而是裹足不前。咁即係作為真係想做見到一啲好嘅概念、好嘅設計喺海邊發生呢，咁喺過去七年呢，其實我哋都即係俾呢一個所謂嘅緊箍咒呢，即係令到我哋都有一啲嘢行唔到。咁其實即係不論係我過去代表建築師學會出席共建維港委員，或者係喺呢一個海濱事務委員會，其實我一直都覺得就係話，如果我哋係要改善嗰個海濱嘅規劃、城市設計啦，真係俾市民享用到咧，其實即係呢一個海港規劃唔係呢個嘅保護海港條例咧，係需要有一個即係恰當嘅即係放鬆，同埋一個適當嘅演繹。咁今次係好開心呢，即係話保護海港協會佢即係能夠去有一個咁嘅 proposal 啦 ,two principle 帶出啦，同埋我覺得就更重要唔係嗰個文字啦，正如局長所講，而係一個即係態度。而家其實大家都有一個共同嘅目標呢，係去希望一啲好嘅理念啦可以盡快落實，唔係因為一啲即係擔心呢而即係裹足不前。咁我都希望見到嘅就係話，即係剛才我過去講的一些理念，包括那條板道啊、長廊、啟德去觀塘的橋啊、改善個碼頭設施的東西，是可以即是盡快落實。另外就是亦都係有好多建築師提出，就係當佢哋見到西九嗰個規劃嘅時候，有好多好好嘅理念，例如係一啲海濱、水上劇場啊、水中泳池啊，即係呢啲好有創意由建築設計大師去做出嚟嘅一啲理念咧，其實到最後都係擔心過唔到呢個保護海港條例咧，而係全部係消失嘅。即係今天你見到西九所選取個方案嗰個海邊咧，是全世界最沉悶的一個方案來的。咁所以即係如果我哋倘若係大家有一個開放去睇返，即係話係咪填海就一定係罪過呢，喺壞填海裏面有冇一啲叫做好填海㗎呢。咁如果我哋大家有一個咁樣嘅即係開放嘅態度去睇嘅時候，我相信我哋個城市係會更加美好。咁最後主席，我想問一問一個問題，就係其實我唔知道即係呢一個保護海港協會徐律師嘅建議，佢係一個法律文件啦，亦或係即係一個點樣嘅文件啦？即係話我哋是否需要喺個法律上面再會去有一啲修改嘅嘢，亦或即係係點樣？同埋究竟過去我哋個擔心就係話，究竟你最後係邊個去 judge 嗰樣嘢係填海定唔係填海咧？邊個去 judge 呢樣嘢係 major 定係 minor 咧？係邊一個 authority 咧？咁其實呢一啲我唔知道日後喺政府嗰方面即係會點樣去即係演繹呢一樣嘢嚇。咁多謝主席。
Winston, shall we collect the comments and then you can respond in, when we've had five or six members speak? PY, please.
Mr. Chairman, I would also like to speak in Cantonese. 不好意思，就因為都幾複雜，文件又好長，咁即係講英文咧都係有少少隔舌，咁可能詞不達意，唔係啲。咁我覺得開始講啲啱聽嘅先啦。即係我都相信，即係呢個香港嘅市民咧，同埋當局咧，對嗰個保護維港呢件事咧，嗰個意識咧，其實都深入民心。即係我都好難相信或者想像當局咧，佢會即係求其即係走去又係咁填好鬼多海咁。咁因為仲有其他條例，即係無論如何咧，其他嗰啲條例，譬如城規條例啊，或者嗰啲前軍海床條例等等，仲有其他環保條例等等咧，其實都仲可以捉佢噶。咁但係就即係嗰啲又唔係咁確切，即係針對性，即係對嗰個海港或者填海呢個問題啦。咁但係即係始終係有制約嘅。咁但係講翻呢個所謂 proportionality 呢個問題咧，就呢個文件咧就 講咗好多關於要平衡啦、啊，或者即係所謂 benefit， 即係嗰個 harbour 啊，即係對嗰個海港有益啊，對嗰個公眾有益咁等等。咁其實即係阿 Vincent 都講得好啱嘅，即係而家大家唔信任啫，即係邊個決定得到最後？其實即係如果你話變咗一個法例咧條例，咁咧就係由法庭去判。咁其實嗰個判嗰個人嗰、那個思維，其實佢用啲咩去判斷咧？咁裏面有啲即係你話，即係有啲情況係好清晰噶嘛 ，clear cut， 好似介紹嗰陣時都咁講，即係好明顯嘅。你填好大片海嘅，咁就對嗰個環境咧就量度得到嘅，即係嗰個影響，即係事前同事後咧，即係差得好緊要嘅。咁又真係又有其他方案可以做嘅，咁呢個梗係唔得啦，係咪？咁但係咧，正正咧就係因為佢話小型啊嘛。咁嗱，我就即係有一個問題咧，就係話，即係如果做一個所謂好小型嘅碼頭咁先算啦。舉個例啊，嚇嗱，思考下，即係嗰個離島嘅居民，佢係好少人用嘅。咁嗰個比例咁啊，好少啫，係嘛？咁但係即係，但係如果好多人搭嗰只船嘅嗰個航線，咁啊多人用嗰個設施。咁但係佢呢啲多同少係相對嘅，咁多唔多得過即係全港咁多嘅市民佢唔坐呢種船嘅，咁就邊個即係先係即係優勝啲咧？即係嗰個公眾利益何在咧？咁同埋有啲即係嗰個即係判斷呢個事件或者呢種事件嘅人，無論法官又好，即係有關當局嘅人又好，或者委員會又好，咁有啲。即係情形嗰啲係所謂 intangible 不可觸摸，即係無形嘅，量度唔到嘅，即係嗰啲文化傳統啊，嗰啲行為啊，即係嗰啲做法咁樣點樣去度，點樣去稱咧？我唔係好知啊。咁所以有啲嘢你寫極都寫唔曬，即係會唔會其實有時即係作一個決定，即係可以量度嘅就量度啦。但係即係你有時要講法，又要講理同埋講情啊嘛。即係你喺個時代唔同嘅時間唔同嗰個情況底下嘅時候咧，即係嗰個判斷咧，嗰、那個取態，嗰、那個 weight， 即係嗰個份量咧，拿捏咧，就應該係唔同嘅。呢、這個就係 common sense 啊嘛。嚇，如果你話要寫本書寫出嚟咧，根本寫唔到嘅。即係我覺得咧，我成日今日聽咧，我都話即係提醒自己要採取一個開放嘅態度。即係我覺得即係。提出呢個建議嘅咧，都係一個係好意嚟嘅。咁不過即係因為喺個操作性嗰方面咧，即係聽到而家咧，都係覺得即係唔係好咁簡單，好似講話即係好清晰，即係好 clear cut 呢啲就係 benefit， 呢啲係 good。咁啊，邊個係 public？ 即係有排拗啊嚇！即係你用個海嘅同用嗰個海嘅人個數，你係咪下去公投啊？你用咩方式去決定咧？我覺得咧，即係最好大家咧就即係詳細啲考慮啦嚇、啊，即係多啲即係條例咧，即係嗰個所謂緊箍咒咧，其實唔係一定等於鬆咗綁或者即係容易咗嘅，因為做城市規劃咧，其實都係要成日講平衡嘅。咁其實即係都係話要比較即係咩利同埋咩弊，即係有一種即係工具，其實好簡單啫。有時讀書都要做嘅，佢話整個 planning balance sheet。我唔知中文叫咩，即係規劃嘅，即係嗰、那個即係收支平衡帳咁上下啦。即係你多幾多少幾多，你係要俾個數值佢啊嘛。即係但係嗰個係假設嚟嘅啫嘛。即係電腦可以計到㗎。即係擠啲咩材料入去，咪出啲咩出嚟咯。有 rubbish in 就 rubbish out， 有冇意思㗎呢樣嘢？所以最重要咧，就係嗰個社會個價值嘅取向，同埋大家嗰個誠懇，即係個態度。同埋嗰個溝通，咁我諗咧，即係如果立索一啲即係制度上或者嗰、那個條例上嗰啲修訂咧，就最好咧就詳細考慮咗先，即係所有可能發生嘅情況咧都要有預計咗在內，同埋唔可以將佢交咗俾即係譬如如果係條例嘅法庭判啦，即係我哋大家都係好人，即係大家都唔需要負責啦，嚇，咪揾第二個人判咗佢咪算咯。即係呢個唔係我哋應該採取嘅態度，即係我哋唔係敵對，我哋大家合作，但係我哋大家都唔知講乜好，咁啊揾第三個你話啦咁， 但那個人不知道用什麼去判斷，即是變成那個 uncertainty 的不確定性呢就更大了。多謝主席。
Thanks, P.Y. Thank you. Please, Clement.
Thank you. Chairman, of course I'm a latecomer to the whole issue of reclamations and so on. But to a latecomer, it does seem to me that reading this proportionality principle seems to be, you know, quite a sensible possible interpretation of the judgment that was made by the law courts. I don't necessarily perhaps have a feel for all the nuances and subtleties that have gone into drafting this statement, but by and large it seems to me to be sensible. Of course, the point has been made about who would make these judgments and how that balance would be weighed up and whether that would ultimately end up in the legal process or not. But I guess what I'm trying to clarify in my mind is, you know, what are we trying to do with this thing today? Are we simply being briefed by the SPH as to what is their interpretation of the legal judgment so that in the work of the Harbourfront Commission we can be aware of, if you like, the position that is being taken by the SPH? I don't think anyone is suggesting, as far as I can understand, that the Harbourfront Commission adopts this principle as, if you like, a Harbourfront Commission principle. And of course, Mrs. Lam has referred to guidelines of the government as well. So I guess that clarification would be useful. I guess the role of the Harbourfront Commission is to work with the sort of understanding of the different constituents, perhaps government guidelines on the one hand, SPH, an understanding of the SPH's position on the other, because ultimately we're all in this together. We have to get to a position where, if you like, which is supportable by the main constituents in order to move forward with the things that we all believe would be good for the future development of the harbour. But I would obviously find it useful to, you know, clarify whether my reading of what is being put in front of us today is correct or not, or whether it goes beyond what I'm sort of what my understanding is. Thank you.
Anybody else like to make comments? Peter?
Well, I'd certainly like to thank Winston for producing this paper. I did read it very carefully some weeks ago. I think it's a very carefully and very well-structured and well-argued paper. I think the proportionality principle does make up for what has been, I think, widely perceived as really presenting something of a dilemma, in the sense that certain proposals that are clearly positive for the harbour and benefit the public have stalled or they've hit a wall, which has been very frustrating. So I do support that. I'd just like to make a couple of points in passing with reference to Mrs. Lam's comments. Yes, I do think that the public should be the final arbiters. So could we please have a transparent process of public engagement on this with a clear idea as to how we actually measure public support and that of professional institutes or otherwise? Could I also suggest that the Commission examines all proposals as they occur, and that this recommendation, or otherwise, is also given credence to better achieve a consensus? And finally, I'm delighted about Mrs. Lam taking part in the Harbour Walk. I thought for a moment she was going to take part in the Harbour Swim. And if she agrees to do that, I will agree also to participate in the Harbour Swim too.
To rescue her. Paul? I'm not sure.
Chairman, if I.
Sorry, Paul, I'm not sure it's appropriate for you to speak.
Well,
I know you want to, but I'm sorry, I don't think it is appropriate.
But, Chairman, may I make a suggestion of why I think it would be appropriate for me to speak to you first. On 6th of April 2005, as the alternate member for the Business Environment Council, I submitted a paper to the Harbourfront Enhancement Committee on the same point. And I'd like to, and I know there are many people here that haven't been involved in Harbourfront Enhancement maybe as long as I've been, and if I can just put in perspective some of the issues that have raised and that happened and why this paper came up in terms at that time in terms of the facilities.
I don't think it is appropriate.
No?
No.
You don't want me to highlight that?
No.
I leave it to you.
I mean, we have the proponents here. They've explained why they're here with us. We understand why they're with us.
Chairman.
Thank you. Please. Anybody else like to comment? Please.
Andy.
Chairman, actually, a few weeks ago when I read this paper, I've been trying to take one step further, assuming every one of us actually adopt or agree on the principle. It's a proportionality principle. I think I'm trying to figure out how it works. I think the most important thing is, it's a matter of the measuring tape. I think the PY has mentioned about the all these complications. I really can't find a way how with that the CFA judgment in place as a prime controlling sort of a concept. I think we need to find out the way to calibrate this measuring tape, particularly with the public participation, also the public consensus. I think eventually we don't want a situation that certain party actually would have some sort of understanding agreement on the measuring tape, but at last one single people in the street actually raise an objection, and then he has a very different measuring tape with him. I think this would be a no-go, actually. I don't think we can easily calibrate out the scale unless we go through another very, very comprehensive and full scales of a public consultation. But I think, frankly speaking, it's difficult for us to actually calibrate everything. Just for example, I think building a pier, are you expecting to give up 100 feet, 1,000 feet, 10,000 feet, square feet? I think we need to think along the sort of implementation mechanism. Otherwise, we may need to consider whether we need to actually even amend the ordinance, which is, I think, is really difficult. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm. Any other comments? Winston, Christine, like to react, respond to what you've heard?
Thank you, Chairman. I shall be brief. To deal with Vincent's question, good and bad reclamation. Well, the word good and bad depends on the standpoint. I think the answer is provided very clearly that, quite agree, the public is the final arbiter. So it must be good or bad from the public point of view. So I think that solves the issue. I'm grateful to Mrs. Lam that the technical circular, which we have consulted in writing the paper, is most helpful. This will enable the public to be consulted, and it's the public decision as to whether it's a good or bad. However, the ultimate arbiter, by law, are the law courts, which is what we are trying to prevent. I think if we have a process whereby there's minimum disagreement and try to work towards a consensus, it can be the best for everybody. This can be achieved, as I said earlier, if the government will encourage this commission to prepare this strategic plan as the basis of the future development of the harbour. This will indirectly solve the problem of harbour reclamation. What will be in accordance with this plan after public consultation may well be then regarded as good reclamation. Anything that is not may then be bad. There are two challenges in what we are talking about. In things of this nature, with regard to the environment, everyone has a different view. That's obvious. So how do we resolve the problem? The two problems are, first of all, who is the decision maker? And secondly, what is the logical process? What logic should you apply? We are, by our paper today, not trying to answer the first, but just the second. We are suggesting that the process of logic should be two things. What is good for the community and what is good for the harbour? That, I hope, is adding something. Is providing a way ahead. Ultimately, I think the decision making will have to take the place of first this commission preparing the strategic plan and also providing the opportunity, the forum to hear public views. So this will resolve the danger of litigation, that the public have a say here. Then, when Mrs. Lam, I wish her the very best of luck, could institute the harbor authority, that could also be helpful. I feel that if we have a harbor authority with public representation making a decision in favor of harbor reclamation, it would take a very brave man to take the harbor authority to court. Of course, it's possible. There are always troublemakers in town. I was called one in my time. However, it will minimize the danger. So I think what I'd like to stress today is that someone said just now something beautiful. This is the beginning of a new page. And I'm delighted that we have Mrs. Lam leading us and Nick leading us towards the correct direction, which is work together for the community, not at loggerheads. And that is what we should try to investigate. The question we're asking today, but all of you are excellent. Let's find the answer. That's how to move ahead together, you know, so that we're acting for the interests of Hong Kong, which is what we are here to do, all of us. So this is the most encouraging. Thank you. There's just one minor matter. I have been very careful not to send out this paper to the newspapers because it would not be, to my thinking, correct until we had this meeting with you. But for some reason, the newspapers got hold of a copy. I don't know how. And they've been attacking myself and our society quite unfairly and putting words into our mouth. So we will be holding a press conference at, well, just after this meeting to try to clarify the matter. But because of that, I'm now seeking your consent that I may now make the paper public. After all, it is already on your website. I don't see any legal problem there.
And it is your paper.
but I do have a number of papers that are not only ours, but, you know, the government papers and so on. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Maybe just a couple of comments. I think today is a very important start along this new path, if you like. I think we are talking about a joint initiative and moving to this situation where we're permissive rather than restrictive. You talk about a strategic plan. You talk about an authority. Reality is, you know, that is some way down the line in terms of time. Much as we'd like to accelerate process, there are a number of improvements, enhancements that I think we would like to press on with. And as Mrs. Lam was saying, there are a number of possible candidates. And I wonder whether, as a commission, we could help work with the government to identify those candidates and then talk to you as to whether, in your world, they satisfy the proportionality principle. Because that's obviously the test you're going to apply. I wonder if that's a good way of running a few pilots, if you like, to see whether we can reach an accord. Because then we can go, obviously we have to test the water in terms of overriding public need, but we would know that you were essentially not opposing that particular candidate or that particular enhancement.
Chairman, maybe I could reply to that. As we are, what is the Chinese saying? We have to cross the river by grasping the stones. So I think what you have proposed will be a exploratory way going forward, and on behalf of the society, I welcome that approach.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I just want to respond to a few comments. First of all, Vincent asked at the end of the day, who decides? Under the Protection of Harbour Ordinance, there's this presumption against reclamation of harbour, and it requires all public officials, public bodies to have regard to this principle. Shall have regard to this principle for guidance in exercise of any powers vested in them. For example, whether it's in town planning, in the foreshore and seabed, and in other things. So ultimately, it will be the public officers and the public bodies. But of course, if we make the wrong judgment, apply the wrong test, then we'll be taken to court again. And so it's that sort of situation. Clement asked what is then asked of this commission with this piece of work from the Society for Harbour, for Protection of Harbour. As the chairman has suggested, I think this is very useful feedback that we have from I would say the most important stakeholder in harbourfront protection work. So this will help to guide us in our future consideration of projects. As far as we are concerned, administration, as I said early on, I'm very happy to revisit what we have laid down as guidelines for our own officials in abiding by that piece of ordinance and the presumption. But we would have some difficulties if you ask me to formally adopt something called proportionality principle, knowing how government operates. I hope you understand, because the biggest worry is we should not tamper with what is in the CFA judgment in terms of legal compliance. Peter's request would definitely be acceded to. I cannot see how any possible candidate that might involve some reclamation, even in a very common sensible approach, is very justified, could go ahead without coming back here. And of course, we would love to use this one, this platform, for wider public consultation. How to measure this public feedback is always an art. It's not an exact science. But I'm sure that now society is mature enough, especially on harbourfront matters, to give us the necessary feedback to guide us to move forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you. Winston, any final comments? Christine?
No, Chairman.
Except to thank all of you for a very, very good hearing and for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you.